Well, so much to say, so many thoughts, so many experiences, both highs and lows, over these past 2 weeks since Deborah and I have been away. I left here sensing there was something not quite right in my spirit. And so I felt the Lord say to me before I left, I want you to go up to Mackay and I want you to meet with Marge and get her to pray for you. Now Marge is an 86-year-old Christian lady living in Mackay and someone Deborah and I have known to be a faithful believer in Christ Jesus since we first met her in the early 1980s. In fact, she was a childhood friend of Deborah's mother. Now, I wasn't even sure whether Marge was still alive. But alive and well, she most certainly was. She was so excited to see me after all these years, and she was also keen to hear what God was doing in Tenderfield. In fact, before I left, Marge told me that it was going to be her birthday that same week, and my visit was the best birthday present she could have ever hoped for. So if anyone's wanting a birthday present, I'm available Saturdays to visit. But as we sat there and shared, we shared for about an hour, we spoke about the Lord's work not only in Tenderfield, but also what God has been doing in her life. If I was to describe Marge, I would have to say that she was a ball of joy, bursting at the seams with the love of Jesus and a heart filled with compassion for others. She's the sort of person you just want to hang around a lot, you know. I informed Marge that I believed God had told me that she was to pray for me, for there was something not quite right in my spirit. And we removed ourselves from the dining room table and we went and sat in the lounge. And as we continued talking, suddenly Marge stood up and she took hold of my hand and she began to pray. That shouldn't be an emotional moment. And this is about what she said. Because as soon as I got in the car, I wrote it down. She said, the Lord is telling me that he wants you to have a greater love of and for people. He wants you to see people as if through his eyes. He wants you to see their potential, not their faults. God wants you to be comfortable digging in the dirt. And although it may take some time, eventually you'll find gold, for there's gold in every heart. The words over me were very powerful, for they were very challenging. I knew in my heart she was right. I'd let my game slip. God's scripture from the book of James, later it just popped into my head. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Began to be refreshed, for I began to see that although I love God's word very much, it was not designed just to give knowledge to others. It was designed to take believers into the very presence of the Almighty. And I don't think that has been happening here. And for that, I apologize sincerely. For surely, when we're aware of the presence of God in our lives, we begin to see people in a different light. For we begin to see them through God's eyes, and consequently, we only look for the gold in their lives. I went home and I spoke to Deborah about what had happened, and I began to wrestle with the reality, and you'll have to forgive me for this. But I said to Deborah, I suspect that when we speak about other people, and you may relate to this yourselves, all too often we don't speak about them in terms of how God sees them. In other words, we rarely speak about them, their potential in God. rather, and I'm ashamed to say this, but the Lord was beginning to convict me about my daily conversation. Instead of ordering my conversation aright, as we are all supposed to do, I was beginning to err more on the side of negativity rather than praising people in their absence. The Apostle Paul encourages us to prophesy more than anything else. And there is no better prophecy than confessing the truth of how God sees the gold or the potential in another person's life. There's nothing more powerful than that. To edify and to uplift and to encourage another human soul with how God sees them is something supernatural, not paralleled by anything else in the world. I began to equate Paul's statements concerning the importance of prophecy to having a greater love of and for people. And so, and this is so important, for I believe God wants to connect everyone to his heart. I'll say that again. This is so important because I believe God wants to connect everyone to his heart through every means at his disposal. Not simply by having one or two people like me explain many of the mysteries of God each week at church while everyone else looks on hoping for a glimpse. That is not God's plan for his body. God's plan is for every member of his body to experience and then share the love of God. And it's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that allows us to speak God's most precious secrets to others, even to people who don't even believe in him. For this is the power of God. Doesn't he say we have the power of death and life in our tongue? To speak God's potential over someone's life can only lead to building relationships. And as we know, those relationships lead to building the kingdom of God. When the prophet Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel, which, as we know, David, the youngest of Jesse's, was eventually selected. God warned Samuel not to look on the outer man, for Samuel had seen the size and the strength of Jesse's son, Eliab, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. That's what he said. But then God said to Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, don't look on the appearance or on the height of the stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Even when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't operate like a football coach. In other words, Jesus just didn't see the potential in a person and try to improve them with coaching techniques. That's not how he operated. Jesus saw people through a supernatural lens, as it were. He saw people through the eyes of his heavenly Father, a Father that loved them dearly and could already see them in the spiritual realm as precious sons and daughters. That's how he saw them. Isn't that how a father or a mother thinks about their children? They visualize the best for their children. Jesus saw them. Jesus saw us. As we had already been restored to our God-ordained destiny. That's how he saw us. He saw us as if we had already been ordained to our destiny. Restored to our destiny. Jesus sees us as if we have said yes to his invitation of walking with him, even though None of us are yet capable of such a grandiose calling. Don't we all fall short of the glory of God? But he doesn't see it that way. Jesus didn't treat people as he hoped they would be one day. He treated them as if they were already seated in heavenly places with him. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 4 verse 17 that God called Abraham the father of many nations. Even though at that time Abraham was the father of how many? None. He's crazy, that bloke. He hasn't got any kids. In other words, God called things that were not as though they were. I'll say that once again. I want you to get this right down deep in your heart. God calls things that be not as though they are. And this was the challenge the Lord presented me through the voice of my friend Marge. I want you to have a greater love of and for people. I want you to go digging where you wouldn't normally dig. I want you to toil in the dirt until you find the gold in a person's life. And then I want you to hold on to that and never see them any other way. I want you to see people as I see them, said the Lord. I want you to call things that be not as though they were, by prophesying over people, their potential in Christ, their destiny in Christ. I want you to tell them about that goal that I see in their lives. For surely this is my will, said the Lord. I want your words to be like honey, not poison. Not like the Tenderfield water I drank earlier. Used to be good. Used to be like honey. Now it's not. I want your words to be like honey, not poison. I want you to speak edifying, uplifting and encouraging words over everybody, that they might find themselves in fellowship with me, says the Lord, and in turn with you. For you are my body. And family, friends, surely this is what the Lord is saying to all of us. We need to be accountable for our own words, knowing, of course, that Jesus told us in Matthew 12, verse 36, every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What right have we got to call the kettle black when all God sees is a kettle made of solid gold? This brings me to the book of Revelation and the most amazing love statement, or indeed the most amazing love picture given by Jesus to the beloved disciple John, of how God views each and every member of his body, that is, you and I. And we'll have a look at it in Revelation 19, verses 6 to 10. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's us making a positive confession over him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, brothers and sisters, this is us, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Family, friends, this final picture of you and I, the faithful in Jesus, the church, the body of Christ, the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, dressed in the righteous robes of fine linen, clean and white, and known in heaven as saints, that's us. That is exactly how Jesus sees you and I right now. Hallelujah. For this is the picture Jesus gave to John, this testimony of us given by Jesus. The Bible tells us is the spirit of prophecy. You see, he's confessing over us how he already sees us. How wonderful. How beyond the use of words does this picture of how Jesus sees us. How wonderful. How high does it elevate our emotions? In very much the same fashion, this is what happens to people when we prophesy over them. It lifts their spirits and sends their hearts soaring above the calamities of this complicated world. It gives them a taste of better things to come. It awakens their faith and stimulates hope in their heart. If this is how Jesus has seen us all for the past 2,000 years, surely we should see ourselves in the same way, shouldn't we? But even more importantly, we should prophesy this picture Christ has over us, over our husbands, over our wives, families, our friends, and to those whom the Lord leads us to witness to. Shouldn't it? Family, friends, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have been risen up and sit together with Christ on his throne. You are already an heir of the kingdom of God because of your faith. You already rule and reign with Christ by faith. For God already sees you as saints, dressed in righteous robes of linen, clean and white, pure and perfect. A bride prepared for the betrothal to Jesus Christ, your husband, my husband. Ready to judge angels and the world according to the holiness of God himself. That's how important you are. We've got to lift our game. We've got to start thinking differently. Now with this in mind, how can we possibly speak or treat badly our neighbours, those with their names already inscribed in the Book of Life? Family, friends, what right do we have to make judgment over and condemn anyone, Christian or otherwise, prior to Christ's return? Philippians 1 verse 27 to 29 reads this: let our conversation, our manner of life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If that's not a picture of unity, if I had a hat, I'd eat it. In other words, as Christians, we do not have the right to use the Lord's name in vain. For me personally, I've taken the name of Jesus to my heart. Therefore, it is my responsibility to perform my God-given duty as an ambassador of Christ. I must be faithful, I must be wise, I must be generous, I must be kind and caring, I must be gentle, I must be loving. Otherwise, I fear that when the full-time siren sounds, Jesus may just say to me, "I never knew you." And I wouldn't want that. With Marge's words still ringing in my ears, I contacted my first pastor who still lives in Mackay. The work God did through that man back in the early 1980s was simply amazing. Yet the work ended badly. It crashed and burned, and Pastor left town a broken, bitter, and bankrupted man. Pastor and I had been estranged for close to 30 years. 30 years. I felt in my heart I'd forgiven him long ago, but I suspected Pastor was still carrying unforgiveness himself. You see, not only did the congregation suffer when all crashed down, the pastor also suffered. He lost the ministry that was doing wonderful things. Yes? Was he primarily responsible for what went wrong when the church crashed? Yes, primarily. But you see, God is in the restoration game. God builds the kingdom, not the man. Did God foresee that the work pastor birthed in Mackay all those years ago would fail? Yes, he did. So I went and spent perhaps the best 4 hours with pastor that I've spent anywhere in the past 30 years. If you don't mind me saying, it's his anointing that I carry. Bits of it anyway. Should I have made amends earlier? Should I have made amends earlier? Should I have been the bigger man? Absolutely. But finally here we were, back in fellowship with each other. The air cleared and in a place where God can now do something marvellous both in him and hopefully in me. Family, friends, my journey over the past few weeks has been an eye-opener. God does care for me, and he cares for you as well. As your pastor in this place, let me now prophesy over each of you the words Marge spoke over me 2 weeks ago. For surely our walk in the Spirit is one walk, not two. Would that be correct? Let's close our eyes and look away to the Lord. The Lord is telling us all that he wants us to have a greater love of and for people. He wants us to see people as if through his eyes. He wants us to see their potential, not their faults. God wants us to be comfortable digging in the dirt. And although it may take some time, eventually we'll find gold. For there's gold in every heart, says the Lord. And to that we might all say, Amen.